Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the unity that we have in Jesus Christ, that we are a band of brothers in Him, and about maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the church. Last week, we talked about unity in marriage through love and respect. And this week, I'd like to talk with you about the blessing of the unity that we have with God through prayer, especially of the power that is now at our fingertips since Jesus has brought us into a living relationship with God through His shed blood and through our faith in Him. So, are you game to talk about prayer today? I want to speak about especially prayers of faith. How we can increase our faith as we pray. I think this is really important for us this year as a Christ Lutheran Church, as we're growing, because if we were to rely on our administration skills, we get only what administration can do. If we rely on organization, we get only what organization can do. If we rely on programs, we get only what programs can do. But if we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. And so, do you want what God can do in your life, His power? Well, there is no other way than through prayer. When Peter was fetched out of prison in Acts chapter 4, I want you to know it was prayer that fetched the angel. And so, it's prayer that is key to the power of the Christian life. And in the midst of prayer, as you'll see from these next few scriptures, we need faith in order to receive what we ask for. But let me read, for example, in Matthew 21. Now here, Jesus has just come across a fig tree. It didn't give him any fruit, and so he says, "Wither," and it withers at once. And the disciples marvel, and they say, "How'd you do that?" Jesus answers in verse 21, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and never doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." There's a word straight from the lips of the God who's going to answer your prayers that you will pray. Let me look at another one. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus casts out a very atrocious demon from someone that his disciples could not cast out. And when they said, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" Jesus says, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." I can almost hear in your hearts right now, "Yeah, that's the words of Jesus, but I'm not really sure if that's true, really, for me. Nothing will be impossible for me. Anything I ask, I'll receive if I have faith." Well, let me give you another one. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And so you see here, based upon these words of Jesus, which contain astounding promises, if you could simply lay hold of them today, there are untold miracles and wonders before you in 2008 in answer to your prayers and help for every situation. But can we pray in faith? In James chapter 1, which Don just read a few minutes ago, James wrote this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. Now, we're all growing in this. I have to grow in this. I have not yet moved a mountain, okay? I also have not turned water into wine. But nevertheless, these things are held out to us as things God can and does do through the prayers of his people. But I want to ask you this question. Is your faith something that's driven and tossed by the wind, full of doubts this way and that, as James says? For that person won't receive anything from the Lord, says James. And I think when I read this passage, I think of an aircraft carrier. Anybody in the Navy has done such things? My brother-in-law actually was a naval aviator. And if you have a huge aircraft carrier on the sea, planes are landing and taking off from that all the time. Power from on high coming down. Power taking off. But if you get this aircraft carrier into a typhoon, where my dad, when he was in the Navy, on a destroyer leader, said he's watched aircraft carriers put their whole bow under the sea and have the whole deck awash and coming up. No planes are landing on that or taking off in that kind of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And so also with God. With our prayers, he's not going to be landing his great power from the skies upon a deck that is full of the typhoon of doubt. Driven and tossed, pitching and rolling this way and that. He wants a level deck, a deck of a peaceful sea of faith. And so, are you game to try to understand how we can grow in our faith? I'd like to give you today several things that we can do to grow in our faith as we are praying so that we actually become more and more believing as we go. And so, where better to look for this than in the gospel lesson that we read a few minutes ago from Luke chapter 7. And here we see of a centurion. Now, in this story, at the end of it, Jesus says, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And Jesus marveled at him. Do you like Jesus to marvel at you? Do you know in all of the Bible, Jesus is only said to marvel at people twice. Did you know that? One time is in Mark chapter 6, where he was in his own country, and he said, and it says, "And Jesus could not do many mighty works there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." But here is the only other place in all of Scripture where it ever says Jesus marveled. But here, of the centurion, it says he marveled at his great faith. And actually, this word in the Greek is tasautes, which means so large, so great, so mighty, the full amount of faith. You seem a little asleep today. Are you with me? I'm talking, and I see people kind of wake up. It's a dark day outside, but this is good stuff. Whew! Okay. Thank you. All right, here we go. Let's read this again. "After he'd ended all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a slave who was dear to him, who was sick and at the point of death. And when the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him earnestly, saying, 'He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and built us our synagogue.' And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, turned and told the multitude, 'I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith.' And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave well." So there's the story. What can What would God teach us today by means of this about how we can pray with faith? Well, the first thing I see here is in verse 2. It says, "A centurion had a slave who was dear to him, who was sick and at the point of death, and therefore he sent to ask him to come and heal his slave." And the first thing I see, if you want to pray with faith, if you want your prayers to be heard on high and answered with mighty thunderbolts from heaven, what you need, first of all, according to this great example of prayer in the centurion, is to pray from your heart, to pray from your deepest needs. For what does it say? He had a slave who was dear to him. That word dear in the Greek is actually entomos, from which I think you would get intimate. He was praying about something that gave him great pain, great sorrow, high emotions, a great need, and he prayed from his heart. And so the first thing God would say to you today, to increase your faith, and Luther would say this also, he said, don't worry about eloquent words, just pray from your deepest needs. Pray from your heart. And that's why David said in our Old Testament psalm today, Psalm 142, David says, I cry with my voice to the Lord. With my voice I make supplication to the Lord. I pour out my complaint upon him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit is faint, thou knowest my way. Is that what you do? Where do you go when you have great struggles and pains? Do you just go rant and rave against your spouse or something? Call a girlfriend? A man? Maybe that's okay too. But what God says is, lay these things before me. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care about you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus says, he's not interested in long, eloquent prayers, as he says in Matthew 6, and in praying, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so the first thing God would say to you today is, he doesn't speak King James English. You don't need these and thous. All you need is groans deep from within your heart. And as Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, once said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. And there's nothing too small or great for God, who knows the hairs of your head and also who commands the skies and the stars. So pray with your heart, as did the centurion. We also see something else in here, I think even far greater than that, though, in this passage. We go on. In verse 3 it says, when the centurion, when he heard of Jesus, he sent him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his slave. I might pass over that. Doesn't seem like there's much in there, but get this verse. When he heard of Jesus, when he heard about Jesus, what do you think he heard? Of his mercy, of his power, of his compassion, of his personality, of his character. Therefore, he had courage to pray. And it was not in himself that he found his great courage. For what's it say? He sent Jews there. They said, this man's worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and built us our synagogue. The Jewish leaders thought, because this man is a great man, God or Jesus will do this for him. That's not the centurion's faith, though. The centurion said, Lord, don't trouble yourself to come all the way here, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. And so, what I want you to understand from this passage, this part of the passage, is when you're praying and your faith seems weak and small, where are you looking? Are you looking to your own worthiness, thinking, God will probably not hear me because I'm not worthy? Or are you looking to the character and the personality of God? For that's what the centurion did here. Now, I think a lot of times when I'm praying, let me just give you a little intimate on look into your pastor's prayer life. Sometimes I'm praying. I have a great need or an anxiety in my heart, and I start pouring out my heart to the Lord. It's a good start. But then I notice my voice trailing off into a kind of a weak dribble, this sort of weak little quivering words pouring out my heart to God. And my problem in that case is that I'm not looking to God's character, not trusting in his promises, not looking to his great truthfulness to carry out what he's said he will do. But this is where the centurion's faith was. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about his reputation. He believed that Jesus would come and show mercy to him. And so, whenever in my life I find my faith trailing off like a dead battery when I'm praying, you know what I do lately? I stop praying. I stop asking God for my request, and I turn instead to praise. Have you tried this? Here's what you do. God, help me in this. God, help me. Oh, this is not going very well. Stop. Just turn and start saying, wait a second, God, I may not be worthy, just as this centurion wasn't, but aren't you the God who promised me from long ago that you would do this very thing? Aren't you the God who has the power to stretch out the heavens? Aren't you the God who is called in the Bible faithful and true? Haven't you told me and commanded me to come to you? Haven't you done this? Haven't you done that? You see, I'm turning my focus from myself to God. I'm looking at the object of my faith, which is not how good I am, but upon God's goodness, his faithfulness, his mercy, his compassion. That's what this centurion did. Therefore, he found courage to pray to God. And therefore, where do you find courage? Where can you find it? Find it in his word. When you praise him, find the promises of God that pertain to your situation. Maybe you'll say, I'm lost, Lord, but you've promised to me, according to your word, if I will but trust in you, acknowledge you, not lean upon my own ways, you're going to make straight my paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Call him to account for his word. See how you're taking your faith off of yourself and placing it on God and saying, be faithful to what you are. Maybe you're having financial struggles. And then you can say from Matthew chapter 6, but Lord, you told me, if I will but seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, then all these things will be added unto me. You'll provide for my needs. I'm calling you now to be faithful to me. I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't understand. The situation's too big for me. I can't get out of this situation, but I'm going to call you to account to keep your word. You said you'll provide for my needs. Do it. Or also, maybe if you're alone, you can quote from Joshua 1, Matthew 28. You're feeling lonely. Ah, but Lord, wait a second. Your character, your personality, you say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, lo, I'm with you always, to the close of the age. I'm going to trust in you and call you to account to keep your word to me. And if you want deliverance, Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me, says the Lord. And so, when you are feeling your faith dwindle away in your prayers, what I want you to do is to stop for a moment and just start praising God for who he is. And if you want to know his character, remember his promises. And do you think you're bothering God because you say, I challenge you to keep your word? Well, you know what? God loves to be reminded of his word. And I experienced this myself as a father of a little daughter, and I'm sure you all have experienced this if you've had little children. There reaches an age in their development when they start to go, but you said, you remember that? Can I have an ice cream after dinner? No, I don't think that's right. But you said earlier. You said you would. Can I do this? No. But you said. You told me that. You said you would. And they're calling you to be faithful and true to what you said. In fact, I think many of you have found that children really get a hold on this and they start quoting things you never said. But you said, no, did I really say that? I don't think I said, you said it. You said it. That's the kind of character God wants you to have with him. You said, God, you said you would take care of me. And so you see how that increases your faith as you pray. It's no longer, be faithful and help just little me, but I'm not really worthy of any of these things, da 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 da. Of course you're not worthy. The centurion admitted he wasn't worthy, but Jesus still commended him as having greater faith than anyone he'd ever seen on earth. Simply confess your sins, forgive others, and then forget yourself. Let the rest of your prayer be casting aside the world, casting aside who you are, casting aside your situation. Just say, but you, God, you, you're all these things. And therefore, your faith increases when the object of your faith is God and his faithfulness. And he is delighted to have you call to you to account that he should keep his word, for he is called faithful and true. And it's his delight to show and manifest his faithfulness to his saints. Are you with me? Okay, we're going on to the third point then. In Luke chapter 7, verse 6, after he says, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, he says, but say the word. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. And then he says, for I am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go. And he goes. To another, come. And he comes. To my slave, do this. And he does it. And that's when Jesus marveled at him. You see, first of all, you pray from your heart. Second of all, you praise him and focus on who he is and his character and faithfulness. And thirdly, you remember he's not only willing and wanting to do it, he has the power to do it. For the centurion said, I also am a man under authority. In other words, Jesus, you're coming to me, but I know you. I know your situation because I'm a soldier. I got people over me, I have authority, and the people under me, I say, go, he goes, come, and he comes, do this, and he does it. You don't need to go and do all the tasks yourself. Just speak the word, and it'll happen. When you're praying, when you have poured your heart out to God, do you take a moment and say, can God really do this? Well, remember what the centurion said. Jesus is under the authority of God. And therefore, whatever he says will come to pass. Nothing will be impossible to you, says the Lord. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, he says. And so, with the centurion, believe that God has the power. Over and above a situation that you can't see your way out of, God has the power. And therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And in the end, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave well. Only a couple times in all of Scripture did Jesus heal at a distance. Usually he stood over them. But when he healed at a distance, it was because of great faith. And therefore, the answer came. And I ask you this morning, how is your flight deck? Are you pitching and weaving, not really sure if God's going to keep his word? Do you know what you're doing? You're insulting him. You're saying, well, you commanded me to come, Lord, but I'm not really sure you're going to keep your word. I cast aspersions and doubt upon your character. I don't really know if you're going to keep your word to me and really see me through. You are insulting him. What God wants, and I understand why, because you're focusing on yourself. But what you need to do is look to God and say, is it possible that God could be unfaithful? Is it possible that God might not keep his word? If so, then you may as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. There's no use worshiping a God like that. But if God is true, if he is faithful, if he is just, and if he has the power to do it, and he has commanded you saying, come and I will do it, believe him, he will do it. So at the end of your prayer, ask yourself, do I really believe that he will do this for me? And if you don't believe, you need to just go back to step one, pray with your heart. Step two, start praising him. And step three, call him to account for his word, because he delights in that kind of a challenge. It's a reverent challenge that issues forth and comes out of faith in his holy word. And finally, I have this, that if this centurion had such great faith and he didn't have a Bible in his hand, he'd only heard a little bit about Jesus, he didn't have the experience of 2,000 years of church history, and nor did he know about the cross, nor did he have the Holy Spirit in him, how much more you? If you have the forgiveness of your sins, and you can worthily approach the throne of grace because your sins have been washed away, how much more sure should you be that he will answer your prayers? And therefore, if we're to rely this year on administration, fine. We'll get what administration does. If you want to rely as a church on programs, we'll get what programs can do. Fine. Maybe hard work of your own strength. Fine. You'll get what hard work and your own strength can do. But if you rely on prayer, we're going to get what God can do. And Jesus said, and lay this to heart today, my friends, Matthew 21, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Amen.